The Coram Deo Church Community is a church rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and committed to living on mission in the city of Omaha. For more information, visit cdomaha.com.
This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning, church. A couple of months ago, I was doing a membership interview with some friends of mine who were wanting to become church members here at Coram Deo. And as I often do, I asked them, hey, so let's just imagine I'm a friend of yours who doesn't know Christ, doesn't follow Christ, isn't quite sure what it is you believe. How would you share the gospel with me in 4 or 5 minutes? And they looked at me and said, yeah, I'm not sure I can do that. I mean, I feel like I've experienced the gospel. I feel like I know that Jesus has changed me, but I don't think I could communicate it simply and clearly to someone who I know. And so after lots of similar conversations like that, and recognizing that as a need in our church, we're hosting this Wednesday night this little mini conference that we're calling Evangelism and the Missional Church, where our goal is in 2 hours to try to equip you and train you to have that conversation. How do you simply, clearly explain the basic message of the Bible, the good news of the gospel, to someone who doesn't understand it? And specifically, how do you do so in a culture that's somewhat jaded, skeptical toward Christianity and toward religion? And so we want to help you have those kinds of conversations. And so I want to let that be known that that's happening this Wednesday night right here in this room. We'd love to have you join us. You can find out more information about that on The City, which is sort of our church networking site. And if you're not on The City, you can get connected to The City out in the atrium on your way out after church this morning. We'd love to have you here Wednesday night to just be equipped in how do you effectively communicate the gospel. So I just wanted to mention that as we get started this morning so that you can be looking forward to that this Wednesday. Now let's talk about prayer. All Christians would agree, I think, that prayer is vital. And yet, if we're honest, I think we would also all agree that prayer can be incredibly frustrating. The reality is, prayer is just hard. I asked last week on The City, posted a little dialogue and said, hey, tell me some of the things that make prayer hard, that make it complex and difficult. And dozens of you responded to that. Here are some of the things that you said. Prayer is hard because it feels like a monologue, not a conversation. Prayer is hard because it means admitting weakness. Prayer is hard because I doubt my own motives. I feel like my prayers might be selfish or self-centered. Prayer is hard because I have a busy and distracted heart. Prayer is hard because I'm afraid of the will of God. Maybe what I want isn't what God wants, and I'm not sure I'm okay with that. Prayer is hard because it doesn't feel productive. It doesn't feel like I'm accomplishing anything. Prayer is hard because I don't feel like my prayers are good enough. I'm not sure how to pray. I'm not sure how to pray, and I don't feel skilled and equipped at praying the right way. All of us can resonate with some of these statements, can't we? All of us who have tried to pray can engage with the difficulty of prayer. It's challenging. Even those of you who aren't Christians here this morning, if you've just had those moments in life where it's sort of like you wish there was a God, you sort of cry out, God, if you're there, would you do such and such? There's something even in that that feels distant and frustrating and that causes you to ask some of these same questions even from the outside. Here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Maybe part of the reason prayer is difficult is because we're not praying in the Spirit. We've been looking for the last 5 or 6 weeks at the person, work, and power of the Holy Spirit. And we've sort of journeyed through Scripture. We've seen that it is the Spirit who awakens our hearts, who calls us from death to life, who causes us to be born again, changes our hearts, gives us a new spirit, a new heart, a new set of inclinations, and a new disposition. We've seen that it is the Spirit who indwells us, that God, the Holy Spirit, actually takes up residence in us if we are Christians. We've seen that it's the Spirit who helps us to kill sin, to put sin to death, and grow in obedience to God. We've seen that it's the Spirit who assures us of our adoption, who confirms in our souls that we are indeed sons and daughters of God. We've seen that it's the Spirit who grants and gives hope, confidence in an assured future. What we want to see this morning is how the Spirit helps us to pray. Ephesians 6:18 has this interesting command, this interesting exhortation. It commands us, pray at all times in the Spirit. Which is a pretty complex exhortation if you think about it. So, pray at all times. Always be faithfully, not ceasing in prayer. But, do it in the Holy Spirit. You pray, and make sure you're doing it in the Holy Spirit, whatever that means. So, the Holy Spirit is key to effective prayer. We can't pray the way God instructs and commands us to pray apart from the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Romans 8 gives us the answer. So if you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn there this morning to this passage that we just heard read. We've been sinking our minds into this particular chapter of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. A chapter that references the Holy Spirit 18 times. Okay, so more than any other chapter in the Bible, this chapter is about the Holy Spirit. And we've just been journeying our way through to understand what does God want us to know about who the Holy Spirit is, about what the Holy Spirit does, about what it means for us to be guided by and empowered by and in community with the Holy Spirit. God has told us all these wonderful things about the Spirit, and now we're going to see in verse 26 what it means to pray in the Spirit. I want you to learn from this text three things about Spirit-driven prayer or Spirit-directed prayer, what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit as Ephesians commands us. The first thing I want you to see is this. Spirit-driven prayer is weak prayer. Spirit-driven prayer is weak prayer. Look at verse 26 of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. In other words, one of the foundational things you have to be okay with if you're going to experience the grace of the Holy Spirit in prayer is you have to be okay with admitting you're weak. This is a given. We don't know how to pray like we should. To experience rich and deep and effective prayer, we have to start by acknowledging our weakness. Here's why this is beautiful. Because for most of us, it's our weakness that actually pushes us away from prayer, right? Think back to those things that we talked about at the beginning. I don't pray because I doubt my own motives. I'm aware that I have a busy and distracted heart. I'm not sure what it would mean for me to pray in accordance with the will of God. Right? All those are various ways of saying, I'm weak. And those are the very things for us that say, well, I'm not going to pray because of those things. Or I feel awkward in prayer. I feel like I don't know what to do in prayer because of those things. See, this text is telling us the very opposite. That it's those things that ought to drive us to prayer. Spirit-driven prayer is weak prayer. It's prayer that acknowledges, I don't know how to pray. I'm weak in prayer. Monday mornings for me are a time when I usually work from my home study. I have a little study in the basement of our house where I do sort of prayer and thought work and study and getting ready for preaching and those kinds of things. And so oftentimes, since Sunday is a pretty long day for me, Monday mornings I sleep in, get up, make myself a cup of coffee, get my Bible, go in the basement with a whiteboard and my journal. And my goal is to spend the first 60 minutes of Monday just sort of engaging with God in prayer. And so I go down there, I have my coffee, have my Bible, I sit down, begin to pray. And about 5 minutes into that 60-minute window of time, I find myself looking at the carpet. And I realize this carpet is really old. It's been here a really long time. And in fact, I don't even like it. I wonder what it would be like to have a wood floor down here. I wonder if I were going to put a wood floor in, what kind of wood would I want it to be? Would I run it east-west or north-south? How would I frame it out around the base? What would I do over there on the stairs to make that look right? And I go down this road in my head and I realize it's been 5 minutes and I haven't even thought about prayer. I'm thinking about home improvement. Maybe that's just me. I don't know if you guys can relate to things like that in prayer. Okay, but I'm saying that's what it feels like to me. That's weakness, right? I can't keep my mind engaged. My mind keeps going to these other things and thinking about carpet and floors. And the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In other words, God isn't put off by those things. Right? Remember what we just professed in the Heidelberg Catechism. The beginning conviction of prayer is the conviction that God is our Father. And that like a good father, he's okay with weakness in his children. He doesn't consider us to need to go get our act together before we can come to him in prayer. But rather, he invites us to come to him in the midst of our weakness and our frailty and our distraction. God welcomes your weakness. God isn't put off by your weakness. But on the contrary, Satan very much doesn't want you to pray because prayer is very threatening to his kingdom. And so what Satan will tempt you to do is to despair in your weakness. Satan will suggest thoughts to your mind like this. Man, you're really bad at prayer. Like, I don't know how God could even listen to this rambling nonsense. You'd be better off just to put this away and go on with your day. God doesn't have time for your mental muddle. If you hear things like that when you pray, that's not the voice of God. It's the voice of your accuser who very much wants you not to pray. Very much wants you to feel like you have to perform and get your act together before God will hear your prayers. But God is not that way. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. So the first key to Spirit-driven prayer is recognizing it's weak prayer. It's prayer that begins from acknowledging weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should. The second thing I want you to see in this text is that Spirit-driven prayer is dependent prayer. Look at the beginning or the middle of verse 26. 4, we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Okay, so the first reality is just acknowledging weakness. But then it says, in light of the fact that we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Okay, so Spirit-driven prayer is prayer that is dependent on, that relies on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit intercedes for us. What does that feel like and look like? Well, it's kind of like back in chapter 8, verse 16, when Scripture tells us this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Okay, so you have the Holy Spirit and you have my spirit. And it says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, there's something internal in my spirit that the Holy Spirit confirms and creates assurance that I really am a child of God. That's something that's happening as the Spirit interacts with my spirit. The same dynamic is true in the Spirit interceding for us. In other words, it's not that I'm over here trying to pray, and over in the next room is the Holy Spirit praying for me because he knows I'm weak and I can't do it very well. Okay, rather, where does the Spirit dwell? Romans 8. In us, right? So the Spirit interceding for us means that the Holy Spirit who dwells in me, if I am a Christian, is provoking and engaging prayers through my spirit. What that feels like is the Holy Spirit creating burdens and longings and desires. Notice the word it says is the Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. The phrase too deep for words there is the English translator's best attempt to get at what the original language is saying, but really the original language just says wordless groanings. In other words, it's this angst, it's this longing. It's the exact same word that we saw last week when it says all creation is groaning in the pains of childbirth, and even we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies. It's that longing, that groaning, that burden of we live in a broken world that is yet to experience full redemption. And as I begin to experience that and hate the brokenness of the world and long for it to be restored in and through the Lord Jesus, that's what drives prayer. That was awesome spit, by the way. Did you guys see that? It was lit up from all directions. That was amazing. The Spirit intercedes for us by interceding in us. The Spirit is provoking prayer within you. Okay, so listen, instead of doubting your motives in prayer and wondering if the things you want to pray about are really good things to pray about, here's what you need to learn to do. You need to learn to just identify longings in your soul and ask, is that something that Scripture says God would want? And if it is, then pray it. Right, express it to God. I'll give you an example. I was going to meet with someone this week, and I realized as I was praying on Monday morning and sort of thinking about my week and laying it out before God, I realized, man, I really need this person to experience conviction of sin because I don't know that there's conviction there. There's recognition, but that's different than repentance. And so I began to ask, well, is that something God would want? Of course it is. God wants his people to be convicted of sin. And so I began to pray, God, would you bring conviction in this person's life? Would you bring a sense of heartfelt contrition and repentance? I'll give you an even more everyday example. This past week, my friends Ethan and Aaron Burmeister were in sunny Florida experiencing some vacation for a week. And so I began to think of them on Tuesday. I was driving to work and I just thought of them. I thought, man, I want them to experience a good, restful time there. And I recognize, okay, that's a desire, that's a longing that I have. Is that something God would want? Well, of course it is, right? God wants his people to experience renewal and rejuvenation and rest. And in fact, elders who serve well are worthy of double honor, right? This has been a busy difficult, challenging season over the past 3 or 4 months as we've dealt with all the dynamics of changing and merging two churches together. And I thought, man, Ethan and Aaron are certainly feeling the work of that and the pace of that. I want to pray that God would just give them rest. There would just be a restful week for them in Florida. There would just be a sense of peace and joy and rejuvenation. So I'm going to pray that for them. Why? Because that's something God would want, right? As you begin to identify longings and desires, you just say, okay, is that in line with what God wants? Sure, I'm going to pray that. Right? Here's what most of us do instead. We have a thought like, I hope they have a good time in Florida. And we're like, well, I don't know if that's in the Bible. I don't remember it saying anything about people enjoying themselves in Florida, so I don't really know if that's the will of God, so I'm not sure if I should pray that. Right? Hey, look, general principles, right? Rest, renewal, Sabbath. Specific application, hey, have some friends who I want to experience that right now. Put those things together and pray for it. That's what it means to depend on the Spirit in prayers, to begin to look for and listen for what promptings, what longings is the Spirit awakening in my soul. Spirit-driven prayer is weak prayer, and it is dependent prayer. But finally, Spirit-driven prayer is listening prayer. Look at verse 27. Pay attention to the logic of this verse. And he who searches hearts. Who is that? That's God. He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. How does he know? Trinity. Right? Remember, we said everything you need to know about the Holy Spirit needs to be Trinitarian. How does God know the mind of the Spirit? Because one God, three persons, right? There's this inner Trinitarian life and community. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Prayer is an invitation to join the internal conversation of the triune God. Are you connecting the dots here? What this text is telling you is, look, God the Father has a will. He has purposes. He has things he wants done in the world. The Spirit who lives in you knows what the will of God is and knows how to pray in line with those things. And the Father knows the mind of the Spirit, hears the prayers of the Spirit because of the community within the Trinity. This will change how you pray. Prayer is not you over here trying to figure out what it is that God over here wants and hope that you pray things that are in line with that. Spirit-driven prayer is God purposing things, the Spirit knowing what God wants to do, and the Spirit awakening those longings within God's people so that we pray for those things. Spirit-driven prayer is listening to what the Spirit wants, what the Spirit desires, how the Spirit is urging us to pray in line with the will of God. So Spirit-driven prayer is listening prayer. It requires us to be thoughtful, to be reflective, to be able to discern and pay attention to the internal voice of the Holy Spirit. To stop our chattering for a while, to just listen and ask, God, what do you want done? What's your will? What's your heart? Oftentimes in our Wednesday night prayer gatherings, we'll begin by just saying, God, there's a lot of things on our minds. Would you in this gathering help us pray what's in accordance with your Spirit? Pray what's on your mind and your heart. And then we're just going to act in faith and trust that the things that come into our minds and our hearts during that prayer gathering are God's answer to that prayer. Right? Because we asked that, and that's God's will, and so let's act in faith. So what does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? It means, number one, admitting your weakness. It means, number two, depending on the help of the Holy Spirit. It means, number three, listening to the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to pray as we ought. We are weak in prayer. That's the stated reality of the text. Right? It's okay to say what the text says. We stink at prayer. Okay, that's sort of a revised version of what this is saying. God does not resent our weakness. God does not despise our weakness. God does not send us to the other room to get our weakness figured out and come back and do it better. What does God do? He helps us in our weakness. And he helps us by giving us the gracious gift of the Holy Spirit to help us pray as we ought. I want you to see God's grace in this, right? God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you pray. What's required of you is that you persist in prayer long enough to feel your weakness, to know what it means to have to rely on the Spirit because you come to the end of yourself. And see, the problem with most of us is we don't persist long enough. We get frustrated. We get selfish. We listen to the lies that Satan might suggest. And we give up. And as a result, we never get to the place where we really know our weakness, feel our weakness, and begin to lean into the presence and the power and the life of the Spirit. My 12-year-old son played tackle football for the first time this fall. And that meant 3 practices a week, games on the weekends. The first 2 weeks of practice, of course, there's a 2-hour practice. At the end of practice, 20 minutes of sprints. Right? This is a kid who's never really run around the block before. He's doing sprints for 20 minutes. The first 2 weeks of practice, he would come and collapse in the passenger seat of the car, say, "Dad, I don't know if I can do this. My legs feel like jello." Right? There's a sense of this is wearing me out. I don't know if I can make it. He persisted. You know what happened by the end of the season, don't you? By the end of the season, really wasn't even that winded after running sprints at practice. Got a lot faster. Got a lot more confident, felt a lot more strength, wasn't frustrated and embarrassed about running sprints and how much it tired him out. He was actually sort of looking forward to it. He was in shape. The lie that you and I believe is that someday we're going to wake up and be good at prayer. Does that work in any other area of life? No. That's not going to happen. We don't become lovers of prayer and joyful in prayer and faithful in our pursuit of prayer just by waking up one day and magically being changed. We grow in prayer by praying. We grow in praying in the Spirit by praying. We learn how to be dependent and weak and listening in prayer by praying. This is what God is calling us to, is to be a people who lean into, trust His Holy Spirit, and pray. Coram Deo, my longing for us is that we would be a praying church. And can I just be honest? We're not. At least not in the way that we need to be. Not in the way that God would desire us to be. How do I know that? Well, first of all, because we have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night and have for 6 years that the same 20 people show up to out of a church of 700. Now, listen, I know what you're thinking, right? Hey, the fact that I don't show up to a meeting doesn't mean I'm not praying. Agreed. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on that. Sure. But listen, I think if we were a praying church, we'd be looking for opportunities to pray together. Right? Be saying, man, where and when are people praying? I want to join into that if I can. How do I gather people together and pray? Where is prayer happening? How can we pray more in our missional community? How can I pray more with my family? Where can I get some people together and just engage the Lord in prayer? That is not happening, let's be honest, right? Instead, here's what is happening. In the fall, before the merger, we spent the first 6 weeks of the fall walking through the Lord's Prayer in missional communities. And you know what we consistently heard? What we're asking you to do is to spend 30 minutes of that missional community gathering praying. What we consistently heard is, that's really difficult for people. Here's what it looks like in our missional community. 10 minutes of prayer and 20 minutes of awkward silence. Now, I'll grant that in that awkward silence, there's probably lots of people in the room wishing they could pray, wanting to pray, and dealing with all the internal range of emotions and thoughts that come in prayer. Is this prayer going to be good enough? Am I okay praying in front of people? What should I pray about? Are these prayers in line with the will of God? That's not praying in the Spirit. I want us to become a praying church. You know what I think our problem is? We're not weak enough. We're not helpless enough. We're not dependent enough. We're not broken enough. We're not humble enough. There's something in you that thinks you can live missionally, whatever that means. There's something in you that thinks you can make disciples. There's something in you that makes you think you can create a healthy missional community. You can't do any of those things. We can't do any of those things. We are weak. For us to become a people who pray, we would have to acknowledge, begin to be honest about our weakness. And we'd have to begin depending on, relying on, listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So, people of Coram Deo, let's pray. We acknowledge this morning, God, that there's something in us that does not want to admit weakness. There's something in us that wants to be strong, that wants to believe that we have it all together. There's just something in our natural human heart that resists admitting weakness and frailty and brokenness. And yet we acknowledge this morning with your word that weakness is the beginning of effective prayer. Thank you for the gracious gift of the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us and in us. Pray this morning that we would be a people who are okay being weak. I pray both that you would give us a longing to pray, a desire to be a more faithful, more praying people, and that you would give us a desire that happen in the Spirit. That we would not be the people who walk out of here and try harder, but that we'd be the people who walk out of here, are moved to humility and brokenness, and out of our weakness experience the strength of the Spirit to animate and empower us to faithful and effective prayer. God, I pray we'd be persistent enough in just praying. That we'd get to the place of knowing our weakness, of feeling our weakness, of beginning to depend on your Spirit's strength. Would you make us a more prayerful church by grace? Would you help us experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in our praying by grace? Would you cause us to be a people who long more deeply for redemption in our lives and in our city? And who instead of just working hard toward that would be a people who pray hard toward that. Jesus, as your disciples asked, would you teach us to pray for your name and for your glory. Amen.